Good Saturday morning to you. Get those lawn and garden questions ready for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney this morning. Good morning, Teresa. I know she's there somewhere.
Good morning, Denny, people out there. Can you hear me?
I can indeed. How are you?
Oh, I am well. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, too, as a matter of fact.
Did you survive the storms and everything?
Yeah, it's been pretty crazy. Really big time around CCO land. But looking out the window this morning, grabbing some coffee, I see the sun is out. Looks like a nice morning.
It does look like a nice morning. It's nice and cool, so it's absolutely wonderful, in my opinion.
We'll, as usual, welcome any kind of a lawn or garden question you might have for Teresa. And again, it's the same number applies to either the phone call or text, 651-989-9226. And if you're a regular listener to the show, you know we tend to get real busy real fast. So if you do have any kind of a question, I would urge you to call it in or text it in as soon as you can. As soon as you think of it, give us a call or send the text. Again, 651-989-9226. Well, I can tell you, and waiting for calls, they're already coming in. What I'm planning on doing here in the next couple of weeks is maybe 2 or 3 weeks is to get some seeding, some grass seeding work done. This is a good time, isn't it?
It's a wonderful time. What you want to do is you want to wait till the weather's, end of August is absolutely perfect to overseed. And if you have any questions about lawns or gardens or anything we can't get to today, you want to go to extension.umn.edu. And there's another thing you could be doing this time of year is heading out to the Arboretum. Julie wanted me to let you all know that they're still open out there. You need a half hour reservation. Once you're there, you can stay as long as you like. It's contactless, so you have to reserve and show your little pass at the gate, and you can head in there. They have all the paths set up one way. Wear your mask outside or inside. The store is still open. The restaurant is not, but you can bring a picnic if you like, and you can get out there and enjoy nature and take some pictures or just be out in nature and enjoy it. But yes, the Arboretum is open, so do get out there.
It's such a great resource. And you talk about, I was looking at the forecast, and I think we've got some good weather to do that very thing.
We do.
Yeah. All right. Tell you what, getting calls already. In fact, let's do this. Let's go back to the phones. Then we have some text messages too, Teresa. Tom is calling in from Anoka, I believe. Tom, you're on with Teresa.
Hey, thank you. Say, I have a number of tall, 60-foot tall pine trees with the long, long needles.
Yes.
And I got a number of branches that are hanging so low they're touching the ground. Can I cut them off this time of year, or do I wait?
You can cut. What you want to do is minimize your cutting because needles don't absorb as much photosynthesis. So you want to minimize your evergreen cutting to maybe, 15 to 20% maximum. If there's a lot of branches, you may have to do this over a few years, maybe 1 or 2 years. But go ahead and cut off the minimum number that you need. Pine trees and evergreens have very shallow roots. So they have lower branches to shade those root areas. So it's okay. The tree doesn't mind if the branches touch the ground, but we do sometimes. So trim off the minimum amount that you can. And just remember, they have those really shallow roots. So with the sun beating on those roots, you may need to give it a little extra water if necessary at times. But, you can go ahead and prune them.
Very good. 651-989-9226 is our text and phone number. Speaking of texts, we were talking about grass seeding. This texter wants to know how to cover. Should they cover the grass seed as they've planted it, newly planted?
Okay, so what you want to do is you want to make sure that the seed itself has really good seed-to-soil contact. So you want to make sure that you've maybe cut your other grass a little shorter, and then you press that seed so it's really touching the soil. You want to keep it damp. You don't need to cover the grass seed for the sake of it growing. In fact, you don't want to, but you may need to protect it from birds and mice and things. So in that case, you may want to put a light dusting of straw over it, or if you've mowed your grass before and you don't have an herbicide on your grass, let it dry for just a little bit, rake it up, Let it dry out in the driveway, and then you can use that as a temporary hiding from the seed from the birds. Especially when you start seeding in the fall, we've got a lot of birds flying over. They're migrating, so that's expensive bird food you just put down. So you probably just want to protect it. And just remember to keep it moist. That's why seeding in August into September is really great, because the ground's nice and warm, helps the grass seeds sprout, but the nights and the days are cooler and there's a lot of dew out there. So that helps this perfect sprouting weather for grass seed.
Excellent. Texter wants to know, can I still trim my yews?
You can. What is today? You know, you're just at the very end of the trimming season. I would say if you have to, get it done this weekend. If you, in fact, all your pruning should be done this weekend. You really don't want to have to do any more pruning for the rest of the season. So get it done this nice, cool weekend, and then you're free for the rest of the year to do everything else until we get the hard frost and the ground is frozen. Then you can prune back your other deciduous plants if you must. But you want to get your pruning done now or wait till springtime.
Okay. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. I think Billy is calling in from Minneapolis. Billy, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Billy.
Hi. Hey, I'm pretty staunch on trying to keep my yard nice and green, you know, just for my own pleasure, really. And this past summer, it's been sort of dry, and I've tried to keep watering it. And I got these brown spots, like, just sporadically spread out to the yard. But some of them almost look like carpet. It's so flat. There isn't any life. I've had luck in the past with that grass seed that kind of grows in a couple of days. I'm almost thinking about cutting that out and just putting new sod there. It's just frustrating. I don't know. What's your opinion?
So first, I would suggest that you go to the website, extension.umn.edu, and look under the grass area, the lawn area, and see what you're seeing. If those brown patches, you can pull them up like carpet, that is grub damage because the grubs have eaten the roots, and you need to address that issue. So if they're just a small area, you don't have to worry. If it's larger, you may want to address the issue at the proper time with the proper products. Otherwise, go ahead. I'd probably wait a week or two to seed. It's just a little bit early yet. We might still get some hot weather. If it's not grubs, then they're just dying. Take off that area, add a little compost to the soil, put down your seed mix, good seed to soil contact. If you're just seeding a bare area, you want to imagine a square inch, and you want 5 to 7 grass seeds in there. That's 5 to 7 seeds in there. That will give the grass seed area to sprout and grow and not crowd each other out. And just keep it moist, and good luck.
All right. Very good. In fact, we heard a couple of text messages refer to the same thing, the bald spots in the grass. It could be, you're saying, Japanese beetle grubs.
Right. It could be beetle scrubs, or it could be the new European shaper that we've just found here. So you want to figure out what you're seeing out there. And if it is the shaper, you want to let the rest of the pest people know that, so that they can track where this invasive insect is. We've got all that information on our website, on the Yard and Garden News. It's all there, so you can get pictures, you can see everything. And we've got, with the way that the climate's warming up and our winters sometimes aren't as long, we have hotter weather, we have more storms that can bring, the winds can bring insects in, people travel can bring insects in. So things are just changing all the time, so we want to kind of keep up on that, because there's a lot of stuff that's coming in that we've never seen before.
Wow. I'll tell you what, Teresa, we need to take a quick break here, but we have more show to come on our Smart Garden Show. Call in or text in your lawn and garden questions, 651-989-9226. Back with more on this Saturday, Smart Garden, on News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions, 651-989-9226. For phone calls and text messages. And as usual, Teresa, we have a bunch of both. So see how many folks we can help out. Let's go to the phones, first of all. I think Wayne is calling in from Forest Lake this morning. Wayne, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Wayne.
Hi, good morning. My question today is some of my irises, the blades, leaf blades, are turning brown. What is something I should be worried about? How can I fix it? Or help
good
me?
Question. Okay. this is also the great time to be dividing your irises and peonies. To be moving your peonies. You don't normally divide them, but if you want to divide them, you can. And looking at your irises, thinning them out. And this is a great time then to be inspecting them for iris spore and things like that. So you could be seeing iris spores, or you could just be seeing a rust on there, or just dieback because the leaves are old and they're going by. So what you want to do is just look into it, go to the extension line, get some information from the Yard and Garden News, the Yard and Garden line. If you really still can't figure out what's going on, take some really good clear pictures, and you can actually send those to Master Gardeners. There's a link on the Yard and Garden line. They'll be able to work it out and help you figure out what's going on. But right now is a great time even to pull up those corms, inspect them, divide them out if you have to. Remember, the corms tend to go in one direction, the mother corms. So try to make them when you're planting them. You can figure it out. Once you pull it up, you'll be able to see where the new growth is, and it's always going to be on the same side. And you want to plant those so the irises are moving away from the other irises so that they're not going to move into each other and get thicker and thicker. You want them to be nice and open, and that will help you. And remember to leave the back of the iris corm up so you can see it on top of the ground. There's great information on the Yard and Garden line.
Yeah, great resource for sure. We'll mention that again, of course. A texter wants to know, when's the best time to trim ash and maple trees?
Maples you can trim anytime. Ash trees, when you're trimming trees that are impacted by insects or diseases, like your oaks, elms, ashes, and your fruit trees, the easiest thing to remember is, could there be bugs outside? If there's bugs active outside, don't trim. So that means then that you want to be doing some pruning in, December, January, and February. So it's a little uncomfortable. Now, if you have to trim something, one of those trees, any of those more susceptible trees, at this time, sterilize all your pruning equipment. You'll need a pruner sealer, and then make your cut, prune properly. And after the cut, then you seal, you sterilize your pruner again, and then do another cut. So it's sterilize, cut, seal, sterilize, cut, seal, and that's what you can do.
All right. Back to the phones we go. Jim is calling in from Burnsville, I believe. Jim, you are on with Teresa Rooney.
Hey, Jim.
Morning. I grew peas this year in my garden, and I didn't have much of a yield. And I've been reading about them, and they said they like a more acidic soil. Where can I take a soil sample to get a reading on my soil?
That's an excellent question. Two things. First of all, peas also like cooler weather, so you need to plant them really early, or you can be planting them now or in a few weeks for your fall crop. So they need cool weather. The acidic soil, that could be an issue, but you can also just go to the extension.umn.edu. It has some really great information about how to send a soil test in, or you can just Google soil test UMN, and it'll talk you right through how to do it. It runs $16-$17, and it's a real good way that will give you your soil acidity. It will give you what the soil is, if it's sandy or clay, and it'll also tell you some other information about what your soil is doing.
That's great. Good luck. Yeah, good question. Texter wants to know, what are the pros and cons of planting a royal star magnolia in a northwestern suburb of Minneapolis, and would it be best to plant in the fall or spring? They say their soil is clay.
Okay. First of all, it would be good. Go ahead and plant it. You want to plant it where it's going to be getting eastern exposure or some protection from the hot west sun during the summer and the winter, or the hot south sun during the summer and the winter. It would be good. You can go ahead and plant it. Raise it up a little bit, so make sure you plant it a little bit high. You don't want to amend your soil too much, because you want the plant roots to go out looking for nutrition. You don't want to make it too nice for them in their little hole. So you don't have to put compost in when you plant trees or anything like that. Just plant a little high so that, if possible, the water can drain away from the tree and it won't have any impact on getting the roots over soggy like that. Summer fall, whenever you can get them, you can plant them. I'd probably get them in by maybe the middle or the 20th of September. That's when you want to get those trees planted by, so they have time to adjust into the winter. Make sure you water real well, and then protect them from critters over the winter time so that they don't eat the bark. And we do have a lot of magnolia scales, so just be on the aware of that. Good luck.
All right, very good. You know what we need to do is take a break and alert our listeners on the line. Stay there. We'll be right back, and we'll pick up on your phone calls and text messages here on our Smart Garden Show on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions as usual. And as usual, Teresa, I'll say it again, callers and texters, we have quite a few, of course, and let's get to it.
Billions.
Al, I think, in St. Paul has been waiting the longest. Al, what is your question for Teresa?
Hi, Al. Thanks for waiting.
The last time or two, people have been calling in because they're increasing in size. They might be needing high phosphorus, the middle number.
What was your comment? I didn't. You cut out.
We
cut out
missed that first part, Dal.
Yeah.
My tomato growers have been complaining about their tomatoes have not been increasing in size, and they might just need high phosphorus fertilizer. And then the third number on a package of fertilizer, potash. That's for rooting crops like potatoes and beets and so forth. Were you able to hear?
Yep, that was great. Thanks, Al. So it's good when you're looking at your fertilizers. The first number is nitrogen, phosphorus, NPK, and then potassium. So your nitrogen helps green up your growth, your leaves. Your phosphorus helps with flower development. And then your potassium helps build strong roots and stems. So what you want to do before you start just willingly adding stuff to your soil, always do a soil test. Make sure you know what you're using and why you're using it and why you want to add it. Our soils here in Minnesota are pretty high in phosphorus, so we don't normally add that to our lawn. But in your garden, you may need to because you're taking out a lot of nutrition from the soil. So you do want to do that. Any of your garden plants that are annuals, you can keep fertilizing them. That's really good. Any of your plants that are perennials, you should stop fertilizing them. They don't need any more fertilizer for the year. And with the crops that are growing, we've had some really weird weather. We've had some hot weather that tends to put a lot of plants just into a I'm not doing anything right now stage, and they just wait it out. So tomatoes aren't growing and things aren't growing. They don't seem to be doing anything. Once the weather evens out a little bit, things should start getting growing again. Those are good points, Al. Thanks.
All right, 651-989-9226 for your phone calls or the text messages. Here's a text. Says, I moved a coral plant a month ago. Should I fertilize it? And if so, what kind of fertilizer?
Okay, I'm not 100% sure what a coral plant is.
Mm-mm.
But anytime you move a plant and you replant it, make sure that you put it in nice soil that you've added compost to. And once it's established, after about a month or so, you can fertilize it. Now, I've just said don't fertilize the plants that are perennials. So probably you want to just not fertilize it this year. You've kind of missed the point of fertilizing or missed the pot. But what you can do is top dress it with a little compost. That's a very gentle fertilizer. If you really, really, really want to fertilize it because you want to be really nice and you just feel that need to, use a very low fertilizer. One of the organic fertilizers, they'll have really low numbers, like 2-4-2 or something like that. And that won't hurt it. It'll be a slow release. But I wouldn't use anything too strong on it. It's just a baby plant. Make sure that you've, or just brand new plant. It's just been relocated, so it's a little stressed. So just keep it well watered. And then this winter, any of those plants that you've just planted this year, make sure you're protecting them and give them maybe a little bit of winter protection just for their first year. And then just keep watering them till the ground is frozen. As they need it, don't keep watering 24/7. Just water as they need it.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones, Teresa. Dennis is calling in from Vadnais Heights, I believe, this morning. Dennis, you're on with Teresa Rooney.
Hi, Dennis.
Good morning. I've got a question on my aunt gave me some Crandall's currants that are really nice, but they grow really fast, and I've ignored them for about the last 5 years. How far back can I cut those?
You know, I would refer definitely to the Yard and Garden line or extension site to make sure, but I believe you could probably give those guys a hard pruning. I'm not 100% sure of the timing, so I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. My guess would be in the spring you would want to prune those, but that would be my guess for renewal pruning. I would definitely go to the extension site and double check on that. I don't want to tell you the wrong thing on this. But yeah, it may take, you know, sometimes you can do a renewal pruning where it takes a few years to bring it back, and some plants you can just cut everything way back and they'll flush out nicely for you. And I'm not 100% sure about currants, so I don't want to tell you the wrong thing. Okay. Good luck, though.
This text, it's not really, well, it's kind of a question. It's our nine bark is covered with white fungus, have pruned. That's all the text says. Not any more information.
Yeah, so that's powdery mildew, and nine bark is really susceptible to powdery mildew. It's just the kind of plant it is. There are some varieties that are a little resistant, so you don't really have to prune it out. It's just a cosmetic thing. So if you want to, you can next year treat it with a fungicide before you see the powdery mildew. It's really just a cosmetic thing. It usually doesn't hurt the plant. If you can do some strategic pruning to open up the plant a little bit so it gets a little more air circulation and get good air circulation in there. And if you do have, say, a sprinkler system, make sure that the sprinkler system isn't putting water on the leaves, that it's just putting water on the soil. All of those things will help for you. But nine bark, phlox, lilacs, they just are very prone, and Monarda, they're just very prone to powdery mildew. It just is what it is with those plants unless you get a resistant variety. So even your squashes. And we live in a hot, humid, or we have hot, humid summers, which is perfect for powdery mildew.
Now, we were talking about the Arboretum first half of the show, and the texter says they have an area all prepared for a rain garden. And the question is there an example at the Arboretum? I don't know.
You know, I'm not 100% sure if there is, but throughout Minneapolis, St. Paul area, we have a lot of rain gardens installed. You can go to the Blue Thumb Metro Blooms website. They have some great pictures of rain gardens, some great information on it. They usually run some super classes in the spring on rain gardens. You can also just Google pictures of rain gardens, and there's just a ton of them out there. I know some neighborhoods, I have a master gardener friend, where they installed a whole bunch of rain gardens in their neighborhood out on the boulevard, and all the neighbors got involved. So rain gardens are just an amazing thing. So you can get a lot of pictures. But, yep, that's a good question. I would guess the Arboretum has one, but I'm not 100% sure. So I don't want to tell you the wrong thing.
Well, they might even contact the Arboretum.
I would contact the Arboretum. You can even just go to the website and see if they mention anything about rain gardens, because they have a lot of instructional gardens out there. So, yeah.
Very good. Let's go back to the phones before we have to take another break. I think Ruby is calling in from Stacy. Ruby, you are on with Teresa Rooney.
Hi, Ruby.
Hi, good morning. I have two questions, totally different, one about flowers and one about tomatoes. I have some tomato plants that are looking awesome. They're in a cage upright about 5 feet tall. The problem being is there's so much green foliage in there, I can't hardly see them even when they're ripe. Can I trim off some of that?
You can certainly trim off some of the foliage. That's absolutely not a problem at all.
In fact, some people trim a lot of foliage off, but then your tomatoes can get sunburned. And the more foliage you prune, the less photosynthesizing is going to go on. But yes, you can prune, because some of those plants do get a little crazy, especially if your soil runs a little high in nitrogen. So yeah, go ahead and prune those plants off, or those leaves off. And your question on what else?
The other one is I'm redoing a flower garden, and I have a lot of bulbs of spring bulbs. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if I can plant those, and then I plant my basically daylilies also on top, but I want to put mulch on. Will those bulbs like daffodils come up through the mulch?
They should, as long as your mulch is only an inch or two thick. So you don't want it, you know, 7-8 inches. And
right.
You want to plant your daylilies maybe just off to the side, or have your daffodils around them so the daffodils don't have to come up through the daylilies, because that root system is crazy busy, crazy thick. So you offset them just a little bit. But that's a good way also to hide your dying daylily foliage, because it's kind of in with the hide your daffodil foliage, because it's kind of in with the daylily foliage, and they all kind of look the same. And so, it's a great way to get more than one season of bloom out of the same area. Good idea.
Okay. Well, thank you.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Ruby. Ruby leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. I tell you, I was going to take a break, but I want to get Donna's call in here from Plymouth, because I know we're getting kind of backed up. Donna, what is your question for Teresa?
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I have two questions. I have two large, two different variety flowering trees with the big white flowers. And what time of year can I prune those?
Those are probably magnolias. You want to prune any of your spring blooming flowers right after they bloom.
Oh, right after.
Mm-hmm. If they've set their buds already, in fact, you could probably go out there and see the flower buds already. So any of your spring blooming plants already have their buds set for next year, and so you want to prune them just after they flower.
Okay, if they're like hanging down, the lower branches are hanging quite low.
You can prune them now. You're just cutting off next year's flowers. That's all. So it's not a big deal.
Okay, I just have another quick question. When I have hostas and daylilies, right now they're browning on the edges of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
What should I do about that?
I would ignore it, and you want to think your plants have been out there through all kinds of weather. What would you look like if you were out there in all kinds of weather with no protection? The leaves are getting old. It's usually just the leaves are maybe burned by the sun, or they got broken. If you don't like the look, cut off the brown parts. It's not a big deal. It's all probably cosmetic and nothing to worry about.
All right. Very good. We need to take a quick break again,
okay,
Teresa, but we have more show to come here. We call it Smart Garden, around every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour, here on News Talk 830 WCCO. Let's get back to our Smart Garden show. Denny Long here with Master Gardener Teresa Rooney, answering your lawn and garden questions. Teresa, I want to get back to the text messages, but Gene and Egan has been hanging on the phone to ask you a question, and let's grab that call. Gene, you're on with Teresa.
Hi, Gene.
Hi. I have a crab apple that's about 30 years old. The last time I trimmed it was 2 years ago. I read that I'm supposed to trim it in early spring when it's still a little cool outside. We're going to have some landscaping done at the end of August, and the landscaper told me he wants to give that tree a good shave. Is that going to be okay? There are a few branches that absolutely need to go. They're getting way too hung, like over like an arch and hitting the lawnmower guy. So
what you want to remember is crab apples are really susceptible to fire blight. So we have funguses we have humid weather. It's really easy for them to get impacted, and that can kill your tree within a week. So shaving, no. Strategic pruning, you can do if you must. You never want to take off more than a quarter of the tree at a time. So think of the whole tree and take off just the limbs that you need to. And again, you have to sterilize your cutting equipment, make your cut properly, seal that cut, sterilize your cutting equipment, make the cut, seal the cut. You have to do that. Try to do it on a day where it's a little less humid and it's bright and sunny. So that's what you want to do if you have to prune your crabapple. Otherwise, it is better to prune it in the late winter, early spring, before fire blight and other insects come out. Mm-hmm. Or insects come out, fire blights and a disease.
Okay.
Good luck.
Texture says, something is eating my tomatoes. It leaves a 2-inch circle and only is just a little deeper than the outer flesh part. What do you think?
That would be probably either a squirrel or a chipmunk, or it could be birds pecking at it too. So if you can figure out who's doing it, you might be able to protect it. If you think it is a squirrel or a chipmunk, and the chippies usually take the fruit, the squirrels just bite into it. They're a little bit thirsty, so try to have some open water, fresh open water around. That will really help them. You can also try protecting it with bird netting. Now, the squirrels can get in there if they have to, but it would protect it from birds. So those are some options that you have. And next year, if you run into this, you may want to, as soon as you plant your tomatoes, just have a small dish nearby, a bird bath that you keep nicely clean, water in there at all times. And all the critters that are thirsty will go into that, and they'll take that instead of your fruit. However, squirrels are also looking for apples, and those nice red tomatoes might look like an apple, but they bite into it and say, oh, this isn't an apple. And so they don't really want it.
All right. Here's a text, Teresa. It says, got a huge Spanish lavender plant for Mother's Day. Tried everything, every location, fertilizer, give it plenty of water, tried drying it out. Bushy, healthy, tiny sage green leaves with some long, narrow yellow leaves, but it will not bloom. What am I doing wrong?
Okay, first of all, the Spanish lavender is not hardy here. It could be that it was blooming when you got it, and then all the transplanting and moving and everything, it just isn't going to bloom again. It's not hardy for our area, so you want to make sure you put it in a pot. Keep it a little on the drier side. It's a Mediterranean herb, so you want it a little bit drier. Most of your herbs don't need a lot of fertilizing, so don't fertilize it. Things that are too well fertilized, a lot of times the flowers and the plants, they don't often will not flower, because the idea of a plant is to create more plants. If life is good and the living is easy, they don't feel the need to often create more plants, so they often won't go to flower. But if you sometimes can back off on the fertilizer and it's a little tough, then the plant says, I got to make babies for the next generation, so then it will flower. But it could just be that we don't have enough sunshine here, we don't have enough heat here for the plant, or it's just had too much nutrition. So keep it in a container. It's not going to overwinter unless you just want to treat it as an annual. Good luck. Okay.
Another text says, when should I cut down peonies?
I try to leave all my plants up as long as they're photosynthesizing. That's giving them energy to get through the winter, build up those carb stores in the roots, and then come out of winter nice and strong. So once the leaves die down, you do want to clean up your peonies to the ground. So wait as long as you possibly can. If you're headed out of town, you're somebody who spends the winter in another area of town, or you have to prune it by a certain time, leave it as late as possible, and then do your pruning. And that's what I would suggest for any plants that you cut down.
Okay. There's a lawn question. How do I remedy bent grass that is taking over my backyard? Began as a few one-foot spots and now is 5 to 6 foot spots.
Yep. And bent grass is in the south. They use it a lot in the south, but it's not a good grass for us up here. Neither is the Zoya grass. So you'll have to remove it. You can physically remove it. You can use a grass killer on it. Those are your options. That's the best thing to do. You want to get rid of it because it will outcompete, and you've already seen how much it expands. So you do want to get rid of that as quickly as you can. And so a manual pulling it out and replanting proper grass, or kill it. Read the instructions on the herbicide that you're using. Always read and follow and understand the instructions, and then replant at the proper time, whatever the instructions say, how long you have to wait. Good luck.
Teresa, we have about less than a minute and a half. Real fast, can I trim back my clematis in the fall, or do I want to leave the brown plant on the trellis?
You need to know when it blooms and how it blooms, if it blooms on new wood, old wood, or both. So you'll need to know what kind of clematis you have, and that will tell you when to prune it.
And the last one, is it a good idea to aerate my lawn before I overseed my lawn?
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing how much that really helps.
It does, yeah. You've had really good luck with it.
Yeah. Now, in the last 60 seconds or 50 seconds, let's bring back that website for folks who want to check it out.
Okay, we have extension.umn.edu. You can get a lot of great information. Hennepin County Master Gardeners have taken some preservation classes, so we'll be doing preservation classes through your local adult ed training, so look for that. And I just want to say a big thanks to you and your group there and all your CCO listeners for having us on. We love you guys.
Well, we love you guys, too. You do such a great job for our listeners and us as well. We learn a lot. Teresa, thanks so much. I know we'll be talking with you again here on the show.
You will. Have a happy day, everybody.